It's a very consumer-based approach that we have when you're just feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. What else you got? What else you got? What else you got? The church is not Netflix. Your pastor is not Hulu. Your worship team is not Prime. We're a church, and we're here to connect and minister to people and collectively bind our faith and our strength together.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Well, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. We're here with you today. And update, Drew has gone away from facial hair. You have a little flavor saver, but something.
So. I was wondering if you were going to mention that.
There's always something new going on with us, either a different background or different facial hair. But hey, you got to catch the video to really get the full picture. So, Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Tell you what, with the rain and the cold, you definitely you feel the wind on your face for sure. Yeah, I decided as fast as my facial hair is growing now, I was like, you know what, whatever. So we'll see how long this lasts, but probably not very long. But hey, you know, switch it up from time to time, like you said. Things for me are great. Life's good. Ministry's busy. Family's busy. Lots going on, but everything moving in the right direction. So really excited about what God is doing and what he's going to do over the next about 10, 12 weeks. We've got a lot of fun things planned. So I think it's going to be a really good time. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. We were in Georgia last week at a conference. It was really good. It was only 2 days, but it felt like a week. There's just a lot going on in the conference, and it's the whole purpose was prayer-based, presence-centered churches, and it was a lot of leaders there, and it's how do you organize your church around the presence of God first, and out of that, from all your ministries and stuff, flows when you are in a state of prayer. So anyway, it was good to kind of be a part of other churches that kind of have a similar heartbeat to what we're doing with our prayer room opening. And right. I was telling you before we started that our prayer room opened 2 weeks ago, and the first week after it opened, man, there was just insane amount of spiritual attacks. You know, you don't want to call things spiritual attacks that aren't, but these are things that like would normally happen once every month. And we had like seven different things in 1 week. And so it's like, well, we declared war on the enemy. We said, we're going to be a church of prayer. We walked our community in January, and he's going to start to have some scare tactics. He's going to start to, you know, get us to question like, oh, maybe we'll just hold back a little bit instead of pushing forward. And that's not what we're going to do. We're going to keep pushing forward because there's real freedom on the other end of reaching people in their mess and taking back territory from the kingdom of darkness. And so that's where we're going, like it or not, Satan. So
Advance.
Yep. We'll have to do an episode here on spiritual warfare and what that means and practical ways to live your life. So, But today we want to talk to you about how to get the most out of Sunday morning. And being that we're both pastors, we came up with some things we can talk through. And we have 10 points to share with you. Now, the goal of this is not to do all 10. It doesn't mean that you're just a perfect Christian because you do all 10 of these, but our goal is to share with you, since you're going to church on Sunday, how can you get the most out of it? How can you prepare your heart in advance? How can you be present? How can you relate to the sermon in a way that requires application? A bunch of different things we'll talk about, because we're assuming if you're listening that you are more than likely a Christian, that you're more than likely going to church on Sunday. And I found in my life that there's different phases of my life, different times that I've either worked harder, spent, you know, 70 hours at work where church just, I would never say wasn't a priority, but in reality, in my life, it wasn't. And even as a pastor's kid and now a pastor, being in the workplace for so many years, there's phases and parts of my life where church was kind of just like a checkbox for me.
Sure.
And over time, I found that, you know, there is such an importance upon church and being in the church body. And we've done episodes on how to select a church, when to leave a church. You can go back and listen to those. And so we're assuming you're in a church. You are a Christian at this point. And then so now on Sunday, how can you make the most out of the opportunity that you have? Because honestly, it's short. It's an hour of your week.
It is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can blink and miss it. to make the most of that hour, two, three, however long you have on Sunday requires intentionality. And so, Drew, how have you seen over the years for you that you've kind of shifted in your mindset on what you think about Sunday morning?
Yeah, so you're right. It is season-based. It is progression of understanding yourself and understanding Jesus and understanding the expectation. And it's posture related, right? Like everything's about coming in with a good posture. So for me, you know, if we were to go to just as a kid, it was like, this is just what we do. You know, I mean, I grew up in church like you, pastor's kid. So Sundays was like, this is what we do. But there was no like real thought about like preparation or anything that needs to go into it from that standpoint. I'm sure my parents did, but as far as like kid, not a big deal. And then as I progressed and got into my 20s, like what I recognized is that if I wasn't in a good place to minister to people, oftentimes ministry wouldn't happen. And I started craving interaction with people and started craving like authentic relationship with people. And I recognized that the more I filtered that craving through Jesus and asked him for those moments and tried to seek out those moments, the more ministry started happening in my life, the more I was able to really start, I feel like, contributing on a spiritual level and not just like talent-based ministry. Yeah. So for me now, it's such a process. The whole week is really a big build up to what we're doing on Sunday. But even Sunday morning, like I get up really early, I go to the gym, I walk on the treadmill and read my sermon one more time. By that point, I've kind of got it down, but I kind of take this approach of like, hey, is there anything else? Like, God, is there anything else? Is there like one more thing that I need to throw in there? Is there one more thing I need to take out of there? And so it's more of just like a, you know, moment. And then after the gym, go back home, clean up, get ready. And when I'm coming to church, like once I show up, my sermon's done. So I'm not in the green room reading my sermon. I'm not in my office reading the sermon. Like I'm not, oh, I need to go check one more thing. Like I am done. I'm not thinking about it, looking at it until I'm on stage and about to do it. So that's really important because that opens me up to do what's most important before the church service starts, and that's minister to people and talk to people and relate to people. Yeah. So it is very much a process, and it is very much a preparation phase. And kind of the last moment for me from a preparation standpoint is I park really far away from the building. I do that intentionally because I'm just always a big believer in not just like setting culture and you know, you don't want to, it's hard to be like, hey, people, park away from the building, but the pastor gets to park up close. I like to park far away too, just from a belief standpoint. Like I'm a big believer that one day we're going to need all the parking spaces that are between my car and the building. And so from the car to the building, I'm actually talking through that and praying through that. And so by the time I walk in, sermon's done. I know my focus is people. And inside, internally, I have a great belief, a great expectation for not only what's going to happen today, but what's going to happen in the future. And when you walk in with that, like you're ready to lead and you're really ready to connect with people and point them in the direction of Christ, as opposed to being like, oh, you know, I haven't had my coffee this morning, or, you know, I'm sleepy or whatever. Like you're ready to be in that position. So yeah, that's what it's been like. That's what it's been like for me. And talking about that preparing during the week, like that's one of the things that we wanted to share with the listeners. Prepare your heart during the week, like start before Sunday. And there's many ways that you can do that. You can review last week's sermon. You can look at the social media content that your church is putting out. You can spend time in prayer and not just pray for your needs, but like pray for your church, pray for what's going to happen. I think anything that gets you thinking ahead to what God is going to do.
Yeah.
That then allows you to come in on Sunday leaning in and ready to go. And that's, man, the posture part, it's so important, because when you're leaning in and you're going, God, what do you have for me during worship? What do you have for me during the sermon? What do you have for me in this conversation? What do you have for me when it comes to who I sit next to? When you're leaning in like that and you have that level of expectation, you're not going to walk away on a Sunday and be like, well, that was a letdown.
Right.
Like you're in it, man. Like you're part of it. So I think that's a really important thing for everybody to participate in.
Yeah, that's so true. It's really just that heart posture of expecting God to show up, not just wondering if he will, or wondering if the sermon will be good, or wondering if you're going to see your friends. I mean, it's really about, okay, God, what do you want to do on Sunday? Because we believe in the corporate gathering. We believe in the model that is given to us in Acts. We believe to not forsake the gathering. And so now that we understand the importance of it, then, okay, how am I going to dive into that? How am I going to make that the pivotal part of my week, if you will, and everything kind of leads up to that and then flows from that. And so, yeah, like you said, start before Sunday. And number two is make Sunday a do not miss meeting. Don't make it optional. And this is a pre-planning thing. This is something that you have to prepare in advance to do, is that Sunday will not be optional. And so apart from maybe vacation or sickness, so pre-planning to think that Sunday is not optional. Now, granted, no one's going to make 52 Sundays out of the year. You got vacation that comes up. You got sickness. The kids will get sick. But also, those have to be exceptions to the rule. I mean, there's so many people that we both know and have seen who you're lucky if you see them once a month, or you get the Easter and Christmas only Christians, because Sunday's not important to them. Their lives are too busy, their work is too important, or whatever the reason, or they're just bottom line lazy. And that's what I'll say too about live streaming. Live streaming has become a crutch for many people to just be lazy. And I just talked to someone the other day, I hadn't seen them in 3 months, and they admitted it's so much easier to just stay in our pajamas, and we've become lazy. And so this is happening. And so you have to get awareness of that. There's nothing wrong with watching sermons online. There's nothing wrong with watching a live stream if you can't make it because of those other reasons I listed, but it can't be a crutch, because you're missing out on the corporate gathering. You're missing out on using your giftings. You're missing out on being present in God's presence. And so that's what I think. Also, if a job gets in the way, then you really need to take that before God and think about either getting another job or finding a church where you can worship on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. There's other churches that have different types of services, so that you can't just say, oh, I work every Sunday morning, church is impossible for me. You have other options, or you need to find another job, because that's what happens when you put church as a number one priority and God as a number one priority.
Yeah, 100%. I grew up playing baseball tournaments and doing all these travel sports and things like that. But the fact was, Sunday was always a priority. And it's important. And this is, you know, to this day, I know my kids are young, but anything they're involved in, like even if it's just a birthday party or something like that, if it overlaps with church, like we're out, you know. And it's not just a job thing. Like that's what we do. We make it a priority. And while you're making it a priority, like maybe show up on time, you know, maybe like show up early, like,
yeah.
When you arrive, like arrive in time to pray before the service and get the kids checked in and like get into the worship center and actually find your seat and be ready to worship, as opposed to like, oh, the music's starting. Like, I guess we should head in there. You know, I know there's community to be built. I know there's, you know, you're engaging with people in the lobby and things like that. And all of that's great. Like, we want you to do that. And that's awesome. But again, like the posture, the expectancy, like get to church on time. And if you're going to be consistent and you're going to make it a priority, might as well show the level of that priority and make sure, hey, we're going to leave on time. We're going to arrive on time, and we're going to make sure we have time to have the conversations we want to have. So that's another thing that, you know, you could really help us out by just showing up on time.
Yeah. Arrive early, not only because it's crazy how many things seem to come up in people's lives. Like they get sick all of a sudden on Sunday morning, or the kids are crazier than they've ever been all week, you know, on Sunday morning, or you have an argument with your spouse on Sunday morning. These are things that the enemy will throw at you, or just life will throw at you. And so you have to be aware that, okay, we're going to be mentally prepared, spiritually prepared. We're going to get there early just in case we hit traffic, or in case the coffee spills on our lap, or in case whatever happens, right? And getting there early also prepares your heart so that when that first note of the song hits, you're already ready to go. And we started doing this with our prayer team, is they're in the sanctuary praying before service, up at the front, not on the microphone, but just off to the side. And we invite people into that. If you want to pray with them, you don't have to be a licensed prayer person. You just have to show up. And so that's been setting an atmosphere of prayer before we get into worship. And if your church doesn't do that, then just walk the sanctuary yourself and pray. Yeah. It's very simple. It doesn't require a lot of organization, but it requires just a heart posture that is ready to go. Get the kids checked in early, get them ready to go, get your coffee, get the free coffee, have some schmooze time with people that you know, and then get in there on time.
Yeah. And this allows you, like, this is the other thing we wanted to encourage everyone to do. The reason getting in there on time and being like slow in the process and not scattered and chaotic, like the reason that's so important is this allows you to give your full attention to God.
Right.
Like, how many times do we pray from stage, God, just remove distractions. God, just remove barriers. God, just would you set down everything that we're thinking about and allow us to solely focus on you? Look, we get it. The reason we pray things like that on a Sunday morning is because we get it. You're wondering if your kids, you know, being crazy in kids ministry. You might even have like a new parent that's like, I hope they're okay back there.
Yeah.
And you giving your full attention to something in any capacity with your phone, with your relationship, with your family, with your to-do list that's this afternoon. Like, we get it. I understand that it's difficult to just do that. But we're trying to call you into it because it brings you into a deeper understanding, deeper relationship, deeper faith journey with Christ. And so that's why we do that. So if you get there and you're chaotic, you're like, oh, we got to get the kids checked in. Oh, hey, good to see you. And you're running it. Like, good luck. Like, good luck getting anything out of song one and song two at the worship time, right? But if you take your time and you're there on time and you're able to, like you said, walk and spend time in prayer, like, then that allows you to give your full attention to what's happening. And that's really important. It's really important if you're going to spend time at church to give your full attention to it. Like, one of the things that I encourage everybody to do in our congregation is take notes. Like, take notes during the sermon. There's no way, it's impossible. There's no way that you're going to hear me preach for anywhere between 25 and 40 minutes. There's no way you're going to hear me preach and walk out the door and just be like, yep, got it all. I hear him. I heard him. I remember it. I memorized it. Now I'm ready to put it into action. There is literally no way.
Right.
So bring something to take notes with. We provide things for people to take notes with. Like, take notes, because you're not going to remember it. And what good is it if you don't put it into action? So get there, be early, be present, be prepared so that you can give your full attention to the worship and to the sermon. Take notes. So that you're alert, you're awake, you're leaning in, you're ready to go, all those things. And then when you leave, you're ready to put what you wrote down into action.
Yeah. There's something specific about worship that creates your heart posture and atmosphere. It often takes time. Like, what I've seen is that, you know, 30 minutes often just gets you kind of there. And then we shut it off and like, okay, on to the next thing. The longer worship nights we've had with like an hour plus in worship, there's usually like, okay, we broke through that first barrier and now we're in the throne room. Now God's enthroned upon the praises of his people. And now we're like there. He's always been there, but it's more of us getting out of our fog, our brain fog and the craziness of the week and the work. Now we can actually focus on him. Now we can gaze upon his presence because when we're singing it, the praises that are coming out of us are coming out of our spirit, are coming to him. And like, it's just a beautiful picture, but it takes a while to get there. And when you, like you said, when you show up late, you miss the first song, you're into the second song, you're only doing three songs, you miss the fast song. Now you're on the slow song. And now you're like, okay, I'm kind of getting there. And then it's like, all right, go greet your neighbor. Right.
Right. Go greet your neighbor. Here's an offering moment. We're going to do a little, you know,
Yeah, it's really tough. And you're not going to have 2 hours of worship on Sunday. And so the 30 minutes that you get or however long that is really is, okay, this is, I see the value of worship. And now that I see the value of worship, I'm going to do it with all of me maybe you listen to worship, like as a leader, I know what songs we're going to sing, and I like to listen to those on Saturday to kind of prepare my heart for what songs are going to be sung.
That's good.
And so either if you can get that in advance or just listen to worship music on the way to church, you're already preparing your heart for that. And then when the sermon hits, right, the sermon hits, it's hard for some people to pay attention for during 30, 40 minutes, but that's where note taking is important. That's where putting away distraction, you know, if you're sitting with your kids, I'm sorry, that can be a distraction sometimes if you're just constantly like elbowing them or glaring them or, you know, there's a lot of TikTok videos of the church mom that like threatens you with their eyes, you know, if you're acting up in church, which is funny, but it's something that how can you fully give yourself to understanding the sermon, that being present in the sermon, you were just present in the worship and now you got to be present in the sermon and take notes. And I think after the sermon is preached, and now this is the tricky part, and this is something that we've adjusted last year at my church, is we went from 3 services to 2, not because we were shrinking in size, but actually because we were growing. And going to 2 services allows us to spend more time on response time. What happens a lot in churches that have, okay, we have an hour deadline. A long time ago, we moved to an area and there was a church at the time that was doing like the 48-minute service, you know, and they were so proud of the fact they were doing a 48-minute service. And it's just, it was cringe because it's like, man, that's so much time for the Holy Spirit to move in your service, you know, that you're, how dare you go to 49 minutes? And so that's one of the things like that we went from like hour 15 to hour 30 now, give or take. And that allows us for response time, because once you hear the word of God, your pastor has spent their whole week, 40 plus hours of their time, maybe preparing a word for you and your congregation. If you understand the importance of that word being brought from the word of God specific to you and your congregation, then you have to believe that he's heard from God, that he's spent time in prayer, that is not something flippantly being said and casually just thrown out there. If that's how you believe is the word being preached, then you need to respond to it, because otherwise it's just information. And we have so much information overload nowadays. We have more sermons than you ever need to listen to in the world that you could just pull up at a moment's notice. But that specific sermon for you in that moment is information, and it stays information until you let it become revelation. Revelation is the Holy Spirit revealing to you how you can apply that to your life. After revelation leads to application. Okay, for me personally, the same word was preached, but multiple people will take a different thing out of it and what they need to change. Now, with application and Holy Spirit revelation, it turns to transformation. And that's the big thing, is that you take this information. I heard all this information for 40 minutes. Now I'm going to go eat lunch and forget all of it. And that's the mentality that the church has to break away from, because that's the casual Christian mentality. To information for information's sake, and I don't do anything about it. And I have more sermons in my pocketbook than I've had, you know, for 40 years of going to church and hearing information, but I'm still living in sin. I'm still not, you know, living like Jesus. I've witnessed to nobody. I've brought nobody to Christ. I've not loved my neighbor, right? Those are the things we're dealing with in the American church. And so that's why the response time is so important. And so that might look differently. It might look you contemplatingly praying to God. You might be on your knees. You might come up front for the last song and lift your hands at the altar. You might get on your knees at the altar. You might cry at the altar. You might ask the pastor for prayer. You might go to the prayer team and say, I need prayer because this really hit home and I need to change. I cannot be satisfied living like this anymore.
Yeah, it's a very consumer-based approach that we have when you're just feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. What else you got? What else you got? What else you got? What else you got?
Yeah.
And, you know, the church is not Netflix. And your pastor is not Hulu. Your worship team is not Prime. We're a church, and we're here to connect and minister to people and collectively bind our faith and our strength together. So, yeah, like, there's got to be time. And I thought what you said about prayer is really good. You know, we have a prayer wall at our church. I know you guys just opened up your 24/7 specific prayer ministry and a prayer space, which is just amazing. And, you know, if all you did was come to church with the right perspective, lean in, take some notes, have the best of intentions in trying to put that to action, And then on your way out, whether it be anonymously or whether it be through a conversation, like ask for prayer. Why? That's a great day. Like, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you want prayer? Why wouldn't you want people to, you know, you don't even have to get them to like know your situation. Just be like, hey, will you pray for me? And like, cool. All right, cool. I got you. You know, a lot of our volunteers, you know, we're praying in the lobby, praying in the worship center after the church service is over because somebody's on the way out, pulled somebody to the side and said, hey, how's your week been? Or how you doing? Or hey, what'd you think of the service or whatever? Next thing you know, they're praying and laying hands on each other and, you know, trying to do our best to support. And that's one of that is the most powerful thing we have, not in our own strength, but in the strength of God, to pray for one another. So yeah, definitely do that. Now, the next one I'll let you talk about, but you know me, I'm huge on participation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who, this is, again, we're addressing like the Christians and the people who go to church. People who just go to church and they just like sometimes show up and they sit in the back row, they leave early, that kind of thing, because they're always so busy.
Yeah.
And they don't participate makes me lose my mind. It is easily my least favorite thing about being a pastor, is looking at the potential in someone and them just deciding not to do anything with it. It's easily the most frustrating thing. So at our church, we're so passionate about that we don't even do membership. We don't even do membership. We do participation. So if somebody says, how many people go to your church? I'll tell you all the people that participate.
Yeah.
How many members you got at your church? I'll tell you all the people that participate. So what's one of the ways that somebody could participate, Tim?
Oh my goodness. If you don't know, ask, because I guarantee your pastor will have an answer for you, right? It's like that's the thing, is we look at Sunday sometimes and we're like, everything's running pretty good. They have volunteers everywhere. I guess I'm not needed. And that's such a lie. It's such a lie. If you've never been in ministry, you might think that, but we're telling you, having been in ministry, ask anyone in ministry, there's always someone needed. There's always someone needed in the children's ring. There's always someone needed in serving coffee. There's always someone needed ushering and greeting. And so the thing is, ask, and then be willing to step into your giftings. If you don't know what your giftings are, take a spiritual gifts test, have a mentor, try to serve within your giftings. But also, I've seen this happen too, someone's administrative, right? There's no administrative jobs or no administrative tasks to do, so I guess I can't serve. That's also a lie, because we're gifted in many different things. And so even if you can't do the ideal thing, quote, quote, or you can't teach on a Sunday morning, even if you think you're a teacher, then teach the kids, teach somebody, because there's always an opportunity. And so that's where I think we, you know, well, I don't want to miss out on church. Well, more than likely there's two services. More than likely you can serve one and be in the other.
Serve one. Yep.
Sit one, serve one, or a lot of churches have it, you know, you serve once a month. Right? There's ways to do this without, you don't want to get burned out. That's a different issue. But also, I'd rather you get close to burning out than just be lazy and never use your giftings, right? Because at least if you're doing it with God's strength, and if you're doing it Holy Spirit inspired, then you won't get burned out, because you'll have that moderation. You'll have that being filled up by God and not just constantly giving out.
Yeah. And the one thing that being on a serve team allows you to do is like stay connected. It's like having your own little like personal group that you can share prayer requests with, that you can, that you can share life with. So that's one of the things that leads to our next point, which is follow up during the week, stay connected during the week, knowing people from a group, knowing people from a community, whether it's a serve team, whether it's a small group, like that stuff's important. Like Sunday, we get to celebrate what God's done collectively, but then during the week, we want to do life together. If you're not putting any effort towards doing life with the church, how's the church going to do life with you? So follow up with people. And again, being on a serve team, that's one of the things that I love. Like you can just like in your chat, like, hey, can y'all be praying for me this week? I got a big thing coming up on Thursday. Cool. You got like 15 people that are going to pray for you. Like where else can you get that kind of community? That's amazing. So I think that's important. You want to follow up. You want to stay connected. Again, this goes back to your posture, and is it a priority? Right? Like if your posture's in the right place and if church is a priority, then these are things that you should be thinking through. Like, oh, I really should be participating. Oh, I'm participating. I really should follow up with people during the week so that they have an opportunity to minister to me. I have an opportunity to minister to them. a lot of times when people are like, yeah, I go to church on Sundays, but I'm not really connected with my church. One of my first questions, whether it's my church or another one, is what do you do?
Right.
Like, what do you do? Oh, well, I don't do anything. Okay. Well,
there's the problem.
What? Guess why you're not connected? Cause you're not, you don't care, you know? So yeah, if you want to be connected, like I guarantee you, even the worst churches, like the churches that just like, they can't figure out how to connect with their people. Even those churches, if you want to get connected, put in enough effort, you will.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
That's good. And it's one of the things I've seen so many times, people that are connected, that have a life group, that have a group, have a volunteer team, have a ministry. When the storms of life hit, I mean, I can tell you examples of just life-changing medical things that have happened. And these families have survived because of the fact they had community. It wasn't the pastors going to their house every day. It wasn't, you know, just this high level leadership that followed up on them. It was their life group. It was their community and fellowship that got them through it. And so you want to build that up because life will hit hard. And if you're in isolation, yeah, that's a perfect time for the enemy to pick you out of the lineup and say, okay, I got you. You're not surrounded by the church. And like you said, with prayer, you know, I think oftentimes it's pride that we don't ask for a prayer request. We don't want to be a burden. We say that it's not as bad as some other requests, or just because you don't have cancer means that you can't ask for prayer. I mean, this is a problem with response time, is that churches that offer, you know, come up and pray with somebody, and you have two people out of 200 that come up. I mean, that's par for the course for churches.
Totally.
Is that a small percent come up. And I will tell you that there is always something to pray for. You ask me in any given day, and I'll tell you three things you can be praying for right now. And so we have to get out of that mindset, just because my world isn't falling apart, or just because I don't have this life altering thing, that I don't need to ask for prayer. That's why we pray, is to not get to that point. We pray so we don't get to that crisis. Right? So God can sustain us, that whatever small things are coming up, whatever sin is crouching at the door before it turns into a full-blown thing, like we want to stop it in its tracks. And so that's why we pray. And so I just want people to get that realization that you're not burdening other people by asking for prayer. It is what the church should do. And so as you follow up and as you get the most out of Sunday, not only staying connected with people, but the last point we have is to get the most out of Sunday, is that you listen to the sermon again. Those notes that we said to take, read them over again.
Yeah.
Pray for further application. Maybe Sunday hit so hard and, you know, there wasn't time for response, or it was just in and out and you didn't have that chance to pray for Holy Spirit revelation over the words that were spoken.
Right.
Now's your time in your quiet time to go over the notes again, to read this, listen to the sermon again. Read whatever verses were read in the sermon, read those for yourself, because the Holy Spirit can reveal different things to you in His Word than maybe was even brought out on Sunday. And so I think this is an important miss sometimes, is because we look at, okay, it's over now, I'm going to move on. And I can't tell you how many times that I've, by lunchtime, right? It's like,
oh yeah, are
you,
totally.
Just ask your kids, what'd you learn in church? You know, I don't know. I think Jesus, right? It's like, we're no different as adults. We have the same thing after we listen to a sermon. We're like, I think it was about the book of James, but I probably love or something, right? You know. Right. So to get the most out of the sermon, listen again, review your notes, and ask for application.
Yeah, imagine if all you did every year was take notes on one sermon and you put whatever those notes were into application, and you build a discipline and a habit around that. Just one, not 52,
mm-hmm.
Just one. And it's incredible to me how quick we're like, oh yeah, I need to show more grace. He's right. I need to show more grace. And then we go to lunch and we've got a waiter or a waitress that needs grace and we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, oh yeah, I kind of messed that up. Well, you know, I am who I am. And then Monday, you're right back to being who you are. Why? Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
Like, what a boring life that is. No progress, no change. Like, did someone tell you one day, never change? That's the worst advice ever. Like,
mm-hmm.
change, always change. Try to get better. progress in your relationship with Christ. As you progress in your relationship with Christ, you'll progress in your relationship with others. You'll progress in how you view yourself. And the list goes on and on. So, yeah, I mean, you can't put something into application that you haven't really taken time with. And that means that sometimes you'll get some notes from Sunday and go, oh, yeah, I need to definitely put that in application and figure that out. There's other times you're going to get stuff on Sundays. You're like, I got to figure that out now. I got to get that figured out. And that needs to become a huge priority. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think if I could just kind of, you know, leave it like this to encourage our listeners, like we've given you a lot of content today of what you could do, what you can do. Ultimately, you know, Tim talked about this being a priority. If church is a priority to you, then your posture matters. And posture goes into everything from perspective to heart to timing to arrival to all that. So for those of you that are trying to figure out, how do I put this, you know, hey, here we go. How do I put this into application this week, this Sunday? What do I do? Listen through the content, take notes. If you didn't do it the first time, go back, figure out a few things that you need to work on. Like Tim said, you don't have to write down all 10 and go, I'm going to do all 10 right now. Like, pace yourself, but figure out something that you need to do. Take a step somewhere. And what I believe is that you will be blessed by taking that step. God will be blessed by taking that step. And the people and relationships around you will be blessed by taking that step. And until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.